Morning, everyone. I'd like to call to order the October 22nd variance hearing. I'm Corey Teague, the Assistant Zoning Administrator, standing in for Scott Sanchez, the Zoning Administrator. Joining me is Eva Atahera Taylor at the controls. I'd like to begin with some general information about the order of presentation. First, sponsors and/or property owners shall be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments on how five findings are met to justify a variance. The applicant should also submit the declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, secondly, both supporters and opponents of the proposed variance, shall be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. Third, if there is any public testimony in opposition to a proposed variance, the applicant is allowed 3 minutes for rebuttal. Fourth, I may ask questions of the applicant and/or members of the public. Fifth, at the end of the item, I may close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement. I may continue the item to a future date, or I may take action on the item today. Sixth, items listed on the consent calendar are matters considered routine by the zoning administrator, and if anyone would like to speak on one of these items, please step up when the item is called. Otherwise, it will be granted. There are currently two items listed on the consent calendar today. And lastly, public comment at the end of the hearing shall be allowed for items not on the agenda. Members of the public are allowed 3 minutes each to speak at that time. Regarding the justification of a variance, Section 305C of the Planning Code states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the Planning Code would result in a practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding four, that the granting of such variance would not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finding five, that the granting of such variance would be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the Planning Code and would not adversely affect the general plan. Please be aware that no decision is final until a decision letter is issued. Due to current backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete from the date of this hearing. If anyone would like to receive a copy of a decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheet located at the far wall and provide your contact and mailing information. So just over there. Regarding the ability to appeal a variance decision, the zoning administrator's action to grant or deny a variance application may be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the date of the decision letter. And again, no decision is final until a decision letter is issued. Generally speaking, private conversations are very disruptive to the hearing, so please conduct all private conversations outside of the hearing room if you need to. For your information, the next variance hearing is scheduled for December 3rd, 2014. There will not be a variance hearing in November. Audio recordings of variance hearings are available on the Planning Department's website as a link on the hearing agenda for hearings on or after January 1st, 2011. And with that out of the way, we will move on to today's calendar. We will begin with items proposed for continuance. Item number one for 1945 Eddy Street has been continued to December 3rd. To the December 3rd hearing due to an issue with public notice. Is there any public comment on the continuance of this item to December 3rd? Okay, seeing no public comment, this item is continued to the December 3rd hearing. We can now move on to the consent calendar, and there are two items on the consent calendar today, 201 to 203 Russia Avenue and 104 Retiro Way. We will call these items to see if there is any public comment.
Item number two, case number 2014.0554V, 201 to 203 Russia Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Is there
any public comment on these items?
Would you like to comment?
We are the applicant.
Oh, no.
Okay. I see no public comments. And if there is no public comment, these items will be granted. And seeing no public comment, I will close the public hearing for these items and am inclined to grant these variances.
Item number three, another consent item, case number 2013.1739V 104 Retiro Way, rear yard variance sought.
Is there any public comment on this consent item? Okay, seeing none, I will close the public hearing for that item and also inclined to grant that variance. And that concludes the consent calendar. And with that, we will now begin the regular calendar with item number four.
Item number four, case number 2007.0213V, 325 Bodon Street, lot area, side setback, rear yard, and parking variances sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? Would you please approach the mic? You have 5 minutes, sir. Are you the sponsor?
No.
Sponsor of the project?
Hi, I'm the applicant.
Okay, please approach the mic, ma'am. You have 5 minutes.
I'm the applicant. My consultant is actually parking his car right now, so can we take the next number?
Oh, to move up? Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm fine with that. We can move this out of order and take the next item before this one.
Thank you.
No, we're just moving them out of the calendar. We will go back to that item later on, sir. So moving to item number five, case number 2014.0961V, 542 to 546 Central Avenue, rear yard and exposure variances sought. You're the sponsor, ma'am. You have 5 minutes.
Thank you, Acting ZOT. Thank you, Madam Secretary. I'd like to give you my affidavit of posting.
Sure, I'll do.
So this is the existing... My name is Karen Curtis with Red Dot Studio. I'm acting on behalf of the building owners. They have a rear porch structure, rear yard porch, enclosed porch structure. It's a three-unit condo building, and they would like to rebuild that structure. We became aware of the deficiencies in the structure when we were doing some permanent work on the second floor and some abatement for mold on the lower floor. And as we opened up the walls, we saw what was behind them. And we were able to then call in an engineer and multiple contractors to have a look to see how we could secure the building from the inside. And unfortunately, this is one of those cases where it was never really properly built in the first place. And so in order to make this safe for the neighborhood, we find ourselves needing to rebuild it. As you look around the neighborhood, this is the adjacent neighbor on lot 26 on the upslope side, and they have a rear yard deck and stair that goes into the rear property. And then this is the Larkin Street Youth Center on the opposite side. And as you look out, these are all fairly close photos because these are all fairly close yards. I mean, everything's sort of built to the lot line. So in order to rebuild in this location, we will need a rear yard variance. The entire area of work we're talking about on the building is just this spot right here. The variance language does include the stair, and we did that on purpose in case during construction, as the contractor is trying to keep a three-story stair, they have some trouble supporting it, we would be able to rebuild a landing or do something. But there's no proposed, we have no intent of changing the stair. The proposed work is going to be slightly larger on the first floor. So the existing structure is 9'11" by 9'7". And our thought with that is by bumping it out on the first floor and providing a deck on the second, we actually are providing a bit more open space for one of the units. This is a three-unit condo, and as you can see, the rear yard and it's pretty small. It's not in its existing condition, meeting the 15 by 15 common space requirement. And so providing a little bit more open space at the second story, we're starting to get at least a little closer to code section 135. So the existing, I don't know what you can see, the existing laundry porch on the first floor, through third floor are here. And the entire scope, as I said, is on that in that area. So the walls post shade are the only area of work we're talking about. And so it's a slight expansion on the first story, making no change to the upslope neighbor and having fairly limited impact on Larkin Street Youth Center on the downslope side because it's at the interior of the lot. On the second story, we would give them an uncovered deck for that expansion, so the expansion is only specifically on the first floor, and then the third story goes back exactly the same. So in the elevations, this is the existing, and there's going to be no real great change, maybe slightly better windows, but quite, you know, in the same area. So it's quite a bit of an expense for the homeowner, but it's making their house more safe and the neighborhood more safe. So that's, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to take them.
Thank you. Is there anyone here who would like to speak on this item? Okay, seeing no public comment, I will close the public hearing for this item. I'm generally inclined to agree with your points concerning the fact that it's only an increase at the ground floor and away from the property line, and that the work is essentially in kind, but will also add more usable open space for one of the units. And for those reasons, I'm generally inclined to grant this variance.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is the sponsor for item number 4325, Bodin, is here? She's probably waiting for her sponsor, her architect, who they said is parking their car. So we're going to move to go back to it later on. We're going to move to item number 6, case number 2014.1164V, 1907 Lyon Street, rear yard variance sought. Sponsor of the project, please.
Good morning.
You have 5 minutes, sir.
Do you mean the decoration?
Sure.
No, but I can
just send it to the
email.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
So we are the homeowners at 1907 Lyon Street, and we are doing a remodel of our home that we purchased last year. Owner-occupied. The main reason for the variance is we have a zero lot line. Our back of our property is up against University High School, and there is no backyard currently. So what we're doing right now, there is a backyard staircase that goes down to the basement. We're actually going to be, it's a part deck and then a steep staircase that's unsafe and not to code. We're going to be taking that out, creating a bathroom downstairs, and we're legalizing, legalizing the basement, adding a bathroom in the back, and then there will be a, what we're calling a roof deck above that, which is right outside of our kitchen. As well, we are adding a bedroom downstairs. We are adding a half bath on the main level, and then a roof access ladder on the rear elevation. And I have some of the plans. I believe you guys have these. Would you like me to?
Only if you want to go over them in detail.
Sure. Yeah, I believe these are copies of everything.
It's not visible from the neighbor's side. We do have neighbors that have signed off that it may have affected. We have letters from them that we have submitted to the department.
And both neighbors that can see this, they literally would have to be on the roof looking straight down in order to see it. And when we submitted our application, we had previously spoken to them. Sure. They acknowledge that they've reviewed all of our plans.
If they've provided any written support,
it should be in the file.
Right. If there's any additional written support that we don't already have, you can let us have that.
Thank you.
Okay. Great. Okay. Is there anyone here that would like to speak to this item? Okay. Seeing no public comment, I will close the public comment for this item. To your point, this is a very substandard lot. It's very small. This is the far interior, essentially boxed in on all three sides. It's completely disconnected from the mid-block. So filling this in a modest way is a pretty reasonable concept in this situation. So I would be inclined to grant this variance as well.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to item number 7, case number 2014.0809V, 1015 Florida Street, front setback variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, my name is Harlan Hoffman. I'm the architect of the project at 1015 Florida Street. These are my clients, the owners of the house, which they purchased but almost 2 years ago, and we've been trying to plan this out very carefully ever since. The building needs quite a bit of work to address item one. First of all, it's outdated and in dilapidated condition. The foundation is failing. The building is out of level and out of plumb significantly and noticeably. It's on a small key lot. It's a smaller footprint. The building is, which is located toward the corner, next to the corner property. And the existing front facade is already beyond the setback. The other things about the property that address item one is that the subject property is has a relatively small yard, so we don't want to shade or encroach into the rear yard. We also, because of all the work that we're going to be doing, we wanted to add a small master bedroom suite. So the purpose of the variance is to locate the master bedroom suite toward the front of the property as opposed to the back, so that it will shade the other properties much less and have much less of an impact on them. And the other thing that's unusual about the property, too, that's different from the other properties is that the property next door to the south already is further out than what would be legally represented, because the bay windows are quite extensive. So if we did count the bay windows, there would be no need for a variance at all for the addition we're building. And the other thing what we're trying to do is that there's a light well to the north, and we don't really want to build into that, or we want to build into as minimally as possible and not upset that balance to the other properties. Those are just I mentioned a few of the items. Item two, that owing to these exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, that the literal enforcement should be set aside for this project that we're proposing. And that is because we're trying to keep the front facade minimal. We're also adding a kind of a setback along the side of the East Lake Victorian to the north to respect that facade. Item three, the variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of the property right. Well, they have the right to add another level, and where to put it, that's what the variance is about. We're putting it toward the front, and we're trying to do it in a way that will not impose or impact the other properties, which I think we've achieved. And four, that we're not going to be material detrimental to the other properties or public welfare. And I believe that we've been extremely sensitive on the placement and the articulation of the building and the way that it's addressing the property and the other buildings around it. And five, I don't think that we're going to be doing anything that would adversely affect the master plan. And we've gone through the five master plan policies. I only have about a minute left, but I could take you through any of the other parts of the project.
While he's looking at that, let me just say what the overall idea is here, is that we recognize that the city has an interest in maintaining a certain kind of facade and bulk at the street, but the city also has other interests as well, specifically the mid-block open space. And the whole concept to this plan is to, first of all, preserve that mid-block open space to the greatest extent possible by bringing that third-story addition to the front of the building so that we're not adding bulk and height at the rear. Because it's a key lot, we share backyards with basically five neighbors around us. We don't want to impose upon that. But secondly, and maybe more importantly, we don't just want to preserve that mid-block open space. We actually want to extend it by bringing the garden, the green space, onto the roof. So that third-story addition is only going back maybe a third of the building's footprint, specifically so that we can have that green space extending on the roof of it. So in other words, our primary intent here is to preserve that mid-block open space and extend it by bringing that onto the roof of the building as well.
Everything that that Byron had said is correct, and I can, in fact, the north elevation will show that as well, because we've minimized that past the stairway or past the master bedroom suite. We've raked the roof to come down as least as possible. And then past the master bedroom suite, we've raked the roof even further down at the stairwell. And then we've preserved the light well, as I mentioned before.
Thank you. Is there anyone here who would like to speak to this item? Okay, seeing no public comment, I will close the public hearing. I've had a number of conversations with the staff planner on this one. It's kind of an interesting situation. I understand the issue with the existing context being a little bit unusual. I don't necessarily agree about the potential impacts by still moving it back a little bit. I'm not sure exactly how much. I think it's something we can explore in more detail. I do agree that if it was going to be very close, we wouldn't want like a 1 foot setback. That's going to be at the front, it's going to be either no setback or something, or a more significant
that's
setback.
What our
whether
is,
it's
is
more
the place where the stairs would go. We can't set it back without setting it all the way back. It's mm-hmm. one time. If we scoot it back,
can you please speak to the mic?
If we scoot it back even a few feet, then we lose the location where the stairs could connect the three levels mm-hmm. of the building. The only other location reasonable would be in the back of the building,
okay.
And then that kind of ruins the whole concept, I think, for what we're trying to achieve.
Okay.
Yeah, it would be very, very difficult to take it back more than a foot because we're trying to preserve that light well on the back along the side, on the north side. And what I did to mitigate the fact that we're not going further back is, like I said, we're trying to minimize the height so that it's consistent with the heights of the other buildings to the East Lake Victorians and so on and so forth mm-hmm. that are to the south of the project mm-hmm. and also mitigate on the other side as well, on the north side.
Sure. I even think the buildings to the south, even though the building wall where we take the front setback from, you know, that is where we take it from, but the bays and the mm-hmm. other features are so kind of massive and prominent, it has the feel that it's actually the frontage of the building is actually closer to the street,
right.
Which is why I definitely think there's conditions here that are suitable for a variance. I think though that I think I'll take it under advisement. We can explore a little bit more and just make sure we are all on the same page before making a final decision. So
sure.
yeah. I'll take this matter under advisement.
Yeah. But keep in mind that
sure.
trying to set that back would just there's no way to do either. It really has to be either or, and to do the middle part, it would be very disruptive, not only to the existing building, but to the neighboring mid-block area.
Okay.
So there's, I studied it just extensively.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
this is a final
we can point. Have that conversation sure. offline.
Sure.
I would like to have that conversation in more detail. That may be the case. We'll have that conversation offline, though.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank
Thanks.
You.
Okay, this will be the last call for item number 4, case number 2007.0213, 325 Bodon Street, lot area, side setback, rear yard, and parking variances sought. You're the sponsor. You have 5 minutes.
Yes. Good morning. Mr. Zoning Administrator. My name is Gus Falay, and we presented this case last month. And basically, this is quite straightforward and very simple. We have a lot here that is, this is a lot here, which is very huge, and it is the largest lot on this in this neighborhood, in the immediate vicinity. And the building itself, which you can see here, the existing building, which is not going to be touched, is less than 1,000 square feet. Now, what the owners want to do is to subdivide this lot into two. The problem, though, or the interesting point is, most of the lots here almost exclusively are substandard. They are all like 23, 24 square feet. And basically, this lot is 6,000, and even with the subdivision, it should be each of the new lots will be larger than the existing lots that we have here. And so basically what we're trying to do is to provide housing by putting another building here, which you can see is kind of very, very large. It's a huge lot, and that is all. By the way, the small accessory use, which is what is described in the Sanborn map, contrary to what one of the neighbors had said, this is an accessory use, it's not a garage. Basically, this is already gone, it's dilapidated and it's gone. We have gone through series of hearings at DPW for the trees that are on this lot, and they have been approved. We've done the tree report, and we have gone through everything they suggested. So, all the property owners in this place want is to be treated with the same levity as the other owners in the area, basically to have similar lot size. That's what it is. Okay, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Is there anyone here who would like to speak to this item? Please come forward.
You can sit down now.
I know. Please. I know, yeah, sure.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Okay.
These are basically the houses in that area. They're all two-story, not three-story. This is Hale Street next to the lot. This is Hale Street in front of the lot. And this is Bedoin, which is right across the street. All two stories, not three. Secondly, this is a picture of the property straight on. If you notice, the house beside of it is as long as that property is, because it exceeds past that into the house which is built on that property. So the lot next to it is the same length. Secondly, I have a petition here by 40 of the homeowners. The others, I was unable
to... Please speak into the mic, if you don't mind. Thank you.
I have a petition by 40 of the homeowners against this. I was unable to contact the others because they were just simply not at home. But everybody on Bedoin Street has signed this, and over three-fourths of Hale has signed this. Thirdly, last time we had a hearing here, it was stated that the owner had a large family and needed a place to live. I thought that was nice until I looked up her name on the internet and found out she's 14 properties in play right now. If this is the same woman, has the same name. And I brought a list for you of properties being bought and sold by her. The fact is that a 7-bedroom, 3-story house is not a house. It's a housing area. What we've noticed about this is every time they build something that's that big, we wind up having each bedroom sold as an apartment. Right across the street from me, I live on Silver. Across the street, they build one on the corner because that area is allowed to have a 3-story building. People move out of there every month in the middle of the night because they've rented out each one of the rooms to individuals or families. You're virtually destroying this district, and it's going to continue to be destroyed if you allow this to go in. Simple reasoning, once a corner lot is divided, every corner lot in that area will be targeted for dividing. And we can't afford to have it. We have no parking now. Well, our parking is all right now, but it will not be if this continues to happen. Basically, this is why we're fighting on all five of the statements you said that should stop a variance. But here are the documents with the signatures, and I hope you will accept our appeal to this. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you mind stating your name?
Hi, my name is Sheldon Spicer. I've been a resident there for 65 years, and I was a community leader for most of those years.
Thank you very much. Is there any other public comment on this item? Ma'am, are you part of the project sponsor team?
No, I'm the owner.
Okay, that's part of the team. But since there was speaking in opposition, you do have an opportunity for a 3-minute rebuttal.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You can speak. The owner and applicant, as the project team, you have 3 minutes of rebuttal since someone spoke in opposition. So if you would like to do that now, you may.
also approach the mic if you want to.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Sheldon said that I own a lot of properties and sold a lot, and I don't know where he got that information because I don't think there's a ton of people with the same name out there, and he's just justifying that that is me, and I think that's not relevant. And yes, that the house that we bought is a lot that has this is big lot, but then the terms of the house is very old. It's not built on foundation. The shed is very old. It's going to be crumbling down, and it's like we need to do something about it to preserve the area of the housing. Our house doesn't even quite even look as nice as the other houses across the street, next door, or whatnot. So I don't think that not building it is gonna. I just want the area to be nice, and I want to live there. And it's a nice area, nice neighborhood, and the weather's really nice there. But I can't live in the house it is now because it's not in the like as nice as the houses across the street, like I said, and around the area.
Finish your time. Okay, the last time Mr. Spicer was here, he said he canvassed everybody. There's a large Chinese neighborhood. I mean, this is a large Chinese neighborhood. But that was until he found out that this lady is Chinese and has talked to almost every person in that neighborhood. Mr. Spicer says the building occupies a whole lot. I mean, that would be like, I don't know, I don't want to use the word, but you can look at the sandbar map and see what is there. Thirdly, this particular project has been reviewed and re-reviewed by the residential how do you call
design
it?
The residential design team.
Design guidelines, and they approve this. They are okay, it's on it. As I said, we've been going through this for since 2003. Obviously, I wasn't involved then. But that is what we want to say. This is in character with the neighborhood. It's a corner lot. And basically, you know that houses in a corner which serve as an entrance into the neighborhood are usually different or a little bit bigger than the other houses. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, as noted, there are multiple variances requested for this site. I think the lot area issue is a fairly reasonable variance, considering this is by far the largest corner lot in the area, and the existing building that is on the property fronts on a separate street than the new lot would. There is a more clear separation there to be taken advantage of. However, the proposed side setback variance, this is even the remaining lot, the new lot that would be created, would still be a fairly large lot on Baudouin and a fairly wide lot, much wider than any of the other lots in the area. So I don't think a side setback variance would be justified in this situation. There's no reason that 1 foot couldn't be shaved off the width of the building to meet that planning code requirement. And same thing for the rear yard. A lot of these variances are really attached to the existing building and the new lot that would be created on the rear of the property that would be fronting on Baudouin. But because of the side setback issue, and I also want to look at the parking in more detail and see what can be done with that situation, I will take this item under advisement, and but would be inclined to deny the side setback variance. Another point is that this project will require a building permit application. You know, it will be required to go out for Section 311 public notice. There will be another round of design review. The issue of the kind of size and scale of the proposed building is really more of an issue that's dealt with through the residential design guidelines, and those issues may be addressed separately through a different process, such as a discretionary review. In the future, they're not necessarily the matter of the case that's before us today. And with that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 8, case number 2014.0626B, 376 Lexington Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Ernie Sealander, architect for the project. In the interest of your time, I'm going to try to be brief here. I'd like to point out that this is an historic district property. We have already received our C of A on the consent calendar. I believe you have received a number of emails from neighbors. We have overwhelming neighbor support for this project. The only complaint has been about the large planning department signs we've had on the property for the last couple of months. I was told that Mr. Sanchez had asked if there was a code solution for this problem here, and my response to that would be that it would necessarily violate the historic footprint of the property if we were to try to work outside of the rear yard, and I don't think that's really acceptable for this project. I'd also like to point out that this variance is only asking for inches and to sort of square out the building, and to sort of cap that again, I'd like to say that we've had all of the neighbors tour the property through the entire variance and C of A catchment, and we have nobody that is opposed to this project. I have the owner here if you'd like to hear from her, but we'd like to just move on if that's all right. If you have any questions.
I'd love to hear from anyone who wants to speak about it, if the owner would like to speak.
Well, she'd prefer to get back to work, to tell you the truth. So.
Understood. So if you're done, that's fine. I'll see if there's any public comment.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone here who would like to speak on this item other than the property owner? Okay. Seeing none, I will close the public hearing. My only questions were the same that you kind of addressed, which is what are the issues behind a code-complying option that would, you know, be achieved through an expansion in a different direction. And I heard you say the primary reason was that you would prefer not to touch the historic or alter the historic footprint, at least on that side of the building. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Are there any other technical issues to that issue? I mean, if the expansion was into the interior of the property as opposed to the rear, are there any other negative impacts to the existing building or any technical issues that would have to be addressed in terms of engineering?
Please approach the mic,
yes,
sir,
please,
so we can record your response.
Basically, there are open spaces the side of the building because the building right now extends the entire depth of the lot. So we'd have to intrude on their open space. Yes, we would need to break into the side of the existing building then to gain the space we need for a bathroom. To tell you the truth, I hadn't really noodled this thoroughly about whether there was another solution. Thank you.
Well, as you said, we did receive a number of letters and emails of support, and we did not receive any opposition to this email and to this variance proposal. It is fairly minor, and as you mentioned, you do already have your C of A for this work, so I would be inclined to grant this variance.
Moving to item number 9, case number 2014.1275V, 972 Bush Street, exposure variance sought. You have 5 minutes also, sir.
Thank you. The property we're talking about is a 1911 constructed property, and we're looking for a exposure variance. And the main reasoning for this is that we are expanding within the existing building envelope and taking space that's not really being properly utilized and creating additional housing. Ideal situation of what we're trying to achieve here is taking one unit and creating one that leaves the doorway for two and then two more in the basement space, which is the existing storage now, and provide actual affordable housing as well by renovating this. And one of the issues we have is the setback. We've got about 16 feet versus the 25, and then we also have on the side light wells, most light wells and air wells on the side usually typically have about 3 to 5 feet. We have about 12 feet on the side of this one. And one of the things that we've also proposed is to include the additional of two roof decks, about 800 square foot in space, an additional for bike parking. And I One of the other things that we've taken into consideration is we also want to improve the building itself. And by one of the means in our drawings we have is by building a fire escape egress off the back of the building through the building. And that way it makes it a more safer and escape route for the path of travel for the existing tenants as well as the new tenants as well.
Did you want to show that?
Sure. Yeah, let me... So here's our existing space, the storage units that we're trying to create, and then back over and here is the space of the storage that we're trying to include into the units that are here. On the back, I'm going to show, I've kind of drawn a few arrows here. Off the back of the building, this top arrow is where we're proposing to put the new fire egress that drops off the back setback of the building through the building and then leads to Unit 8 and Unit 7. And Unit 7, I have this arrow showing the 12-foot setback between the properties there and then the front of the building being up here. There's a better shot of it there. Then over here, I also have the drawing of what we're proposing to do as far as the additional outdoor spaces, the two roof decks that we've proposed on the top of the property itself. The main thing we're trying to achieve here is add housing, but also at the same time improve the property. And I think I've pretty much covered what I think we've proposed here. But it's all within the existing envelope of the property. We're not going out anywhere.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here to speak on this item? Okay, seeing none, the public comment is public hearing for this item is closed. I just one quick question, just for clarification. The floor where the storage area is being converted or proposed to be converted to dwelling units is called a basement level, but it only appears to be maybe a couple feet at the rear below grade.
It's pretty much ground level.
It's basically ground level,
yes.
Just to be clear. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, and the height clearances, everything is already existing there.
It's all existing, so there's no excavation, and the access to the, to the kind of substandard rear yard area, though, there's still very easy access, only a few stairs.
Yeah, and then the one thing I did show on that drawing on the rear setback is we are going to build the back here with the staircase on the back. We'll have to build some stairs back there to lead into the space, but that would be the only digging that we would need to do there.
It's about 3 feet.
About 3 feet.
Right. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I generally agree with your assessment that the proposal does a pretty good job of adding new units while also improving the quality of the building overall. It does, as we know, trigger the exposure requirement, but it's not a situation where there is very minimal or no exposure at all. There's actually still fairly decent exposure both in the existing rear yard, which is larger than 15 feet, and that interior light court. I think both of those things are factors that definitely help this proposal. And due to that, I would be inclined to grant the variance.
Moving to item number 10, case number 2014.0941V, 100 Van Ness Avenue, open space and exposure variances sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hi, Mr. Teague. I'm Mark Babson.
You mind speaking to the microphone?
Thank you. I'm Mark Babson with Emerald Fund. We are developing both 100 Van Ness, the old AAA tower, converting it into residential, and 150 Van Ness, the adjacent building next door. So 100 Van Ness, the skin's already been removed, and we'll be opening up in a couple months, 400 apartments. 150 Van Ness is adjacent to 100 Van Ness. So it's the green glass building here, and it actually wraps around the side of 100 Van Ness. Here it is. Can't really make out the red, but it's kind of, I'll do my finger around it. It's like around there, it basically hugs the lower eight floors of 100 Van Ness. So there were no windows when we got 100 Van Ness approved. So what we had instead was storage, bike storage on the third floor. Then storage lockers on floors four through eight. Once we demolish 150 Van Ness, which is hopefully going to be in the Planning Commission in a couple months, we will be able to set back the new 150 Van Ness building over 40 feet from 100 Van Ness and allow windows to come down the side of 100 Van Ness. So basically just continue the treatment. So the glass now goes from floors 9 to 28. We can now bring it down all the way to 2, both on the north elevation, and then it wraps around a little bit on the east elevation as well. So there are 18 apartments which can now be added to 100 Van Ness, where there had been storage. That's what level 3 looks like here. It's the units in blue. So we'll just drop in the windows and have habitable units. However, we do require two variances. First is a dwelling unit exposure variance. These are facing property lines. Both property lines we also own through a related entity. So we will record an easement, a 31-foot no-build easement. The building department's already approved this. If there was ever a building built in there, we would have to give up the windows because we wouldn't have the required light and air. I think that's pretty much it on the dwelling unit. And as far as the open space, we also need an easement. 100 Van Ness occupies the entire building footprint. Can't even put balconies above 200 feet because it's a 200-foot height limit. We had to get a variance for some of the open space on the original 400 units. So what we've come up with as a solution for these 18 units is we're going to add open space to what we otherwise would have had to build in 150 Van Ness. So it's 18 units times 48 square feet. So it's 864 square feet. We're going to enlarge our roof deck. Record an easement for that as well, and for those 18 units, they're going to be listed. And then in the leases of all 18 units, they will have the right forever to go over and use all the open space at 150 Van Ness, not just for the extra 864 square feet. And that's our program. And obviously, it's pretty unique, extraordinary circumstances that affect this building. So we think we came up with a pretty good solution. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there anyone here who would like to speak to this item? Okay, seeing no one, the public comment or public hearing is closed for this item. And I just want to be super clear, because obviously you referenced the two easements on the property, the adjacent property that you also control. But I thought you also said that if you sold the property, you could not. I think you were trying to say, or maybe I just misheard you, that if you didn't have the easement and you sold the property, you could not guarantee it. So just to be clear, the variances would be conditioned on the fact that with the air easement for exposure and the open space.
Yeah, it'll be a permanent easement recorded against the land, so right. No matter if we own it or don't own it, this light and air requirement and the open space will stay.
Okay. Great. And can you see? Yes, I think those are the two main issues. Thank you. Right.
Thank you.
I looked over the original variance for the similar variances for all the other mini units in the building. I don't think the conditions or the findings are much different. I think the conditions of the air easement and the open space easement on the adjacent property are very good steps to making this a very reasonable variance, and I'm inclined to grant the variance.
Moving to item number 11, case number 2014.1093V. 235 to 237 Losade Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Niels Whelan, and I'm the homeowner of 235 and 237 Losade Street. What we're trying to do here is to build a firewall that's right next to a spire staircase that was previously approved by the same board that I'm in front of right now, and the situation we have, which was explained about a year and a half ago, was that we don't have a backyard. It's a divided lot, a non-conforming lot, and we have change the deck layout and the prior the drawings that were approved and set in place with the fire spire, with the spire staircase is now requiring a firewall right next to it. There is very limited impact to any of the neighbors. There will be some light at some times of the year that will be not hitting the backyard of the adjacent property. However, the safety is, of course, very important. So the firewall will allow for a safe exit in the case of a fire, and it will also prevent any fire from spreading between the adjacent properties. They're very close to each other, obviously, and there has been actually fire there before, and it spread like crazy. The main topics here is obviously, as I pointed out before, is the safety and security of the properties in the neighborhood. There is really virtually no impact on the adjacent properties. And having not having the firewall will actually be a pretty big financial burden on us. We would have to go and redo the entire already approved project by the planning department. That was put in place earlier. We had to literally tear down everything, so there will be a huge financial impact on myself and my family.
Thank you. Is there anyone here who would like to speak to this item? Okay, please come forward.
Oh, hey, morning. I didn't see
you. You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Pam Brandon, and I am the property owner, one of two property owners in the property behind Mr. Whelan's property. And the rear of his property is very close to us, I think less than 20 feet. His rear yard is only 5 feet deep, and this is why he's having the struggles that he's having, and I understand that. However, this wall adjacent to the stair would significantly impact the view of the sky and the light to our property, particularly for the people who are in the lower floor downstairs. They're already hemmed in by the yard and by Mr. Whelan's property, which towers 3 stories up behind our house. From reviewing the plans, it's our understanding that the stair where it is currently located is not per the approved plans, that it is actually should be 3 feet away from the property line. And now he's being asked by the city, by the DBI, to comply with the code, which is if he wants to leave it there, he has to put a firewall adjacent to it to protect from adjacent properties. So I'm here to say that we really don't want this firewall. We are very happy for Mr. Whelan to leave his stair where it is, if that's possible. I understand that it's a financial burden to him, and if I was in his place, I'd be saying the same things. So we do understand. However, it will significantly impact the feeling of being blocked in, particularly to the downstairs unit, the other owner who's not able to be here right now. So I'm representing the TIC for both of us. So the option, I believe, is that if he doesn't have the firewall, he's going to have to build the stair per the approved plans that he has, which is 3 feet away from the property line. And I know all this because we are putting in a spiral at our property, and we are not allowed to put ours adjacent to the property line without a firewall either. So ours is going to be 3 feet away. So I don't know if it's possible for him to leave it where it is without the firewall. Perhaps he could pursue a easement with the property owner next door, because the adjacent property is a yard and then a storage shed. So there is no occupied building adjacent to his property. There's a one-story storage shed. And so my understanding from the fire department is it's perhaps possible to apply for an easement with that property, with the neighbor, and perhaps not have to build that wall. I don't know. So
Thank you.
That's pretty much it.
Yes,
that's
thank
your
you.
Time, right?
Okay,
thank you.
Is there anyone else here who would like to speak to this item? Okay, then property owner, you have 3 minutes, and while you're approaching, obviously this, the existing deck and stair that's there went through a variance process previously, and you went through the building permit process to construct the deck and stairs as they are now. You know, the planning department and DBI approved those in the current configuration. Can you elaborate again on kind of what got us to here with the current, with the existing building that, with the existing deck and stairs that had already been built and approved?
Right. The building, the permit that was actually in front of the variance and the first time actually were located where they are, mm-hmm. where they're currently located. And at one point, and I was not the person who actually pushed the planning through. I had an architect who was working with me. At one time, they were moved, as Pam pointed out, there is a 3 feet set aside from the property line. There was a mistake in the execution of those plans because it wasn't communicated back to me, in fact, that there was actually going to be 3 feet off. The plans that were approved were actually, stairwell was actually sitting on the property line. And I cannot speak to where it went wrong, but that's what takes us to this place. All the original plans and the variants actually had those details on there that went through this process. And I understand the neighbors, and I appreciate the fact that there might be some limited impact on the light. As I pointed out before, the entire backyard that we do share kind of is dark in the first place. It's not a lot of light that comes in because the houses around there, yes, my house is taller. It was back in 1890, so I don't really have any impact on how tall the building is. But it's the sun is from the other side, actually. My property said the sun goes on the other side, so I'm having a south-facing facade that's... So the property in the back, which Pam is the part owner of, is obviously it's very limited impact on light because the sun doesn't really shine from that side, besides a couple of months out of the year. I completely understand that it might look a little bit intimidating or it will obviously obscure some of the light. If there is possibility to use different materials to let light through, I'm open for those suggestions and willing to work with the fact that having as much open area as possible to kind of find a middle ground or find a solution that works for everybody. But yeah, that's where we're at. And the overall, I don't know anything about the easement of applying for an easement from the adjacent property. Yes, it is a shed that's pretty much falling down, and quite frankly, it's got more stuff there than any other building I've seen in terms of material that could actually be combustible. So right now, it's actually a fire hazard as it is.
Okay. Well, my understanding that the Section 311 neighborhood notification for the associated building permit for this project just recently went out?
It did, yes.
Yes, okay. So generally when that process is going on at the same time as the variance, or take the matter under advisement and wait for the 311 to be completed, so that in case there is any neighbor who does file for discretionary review, this can all be heard as one item at the Planning Commission and with an additional variance hearing. So thank you for providing that insight. Thank you.
What I do want to point out, I know that my 5 minutes are up, but I'm a little bit... So there's... Since I wasn't able to have a final sign-off, there is another body of the city that's now saying that I need to complete the project. Well, there is another board of directors who are now looking to have an abatement on the property due to the fact that I'm moving. I mean, this has been going on for over 6 months. I was actually planned for the 4th of December hearing prior to this. So My application has been in for months and months and months, but the city is moving very, very slowly in addressing the issue. And now, due to that, the board of directors are looking to have some kind of abatement assessed on the property.
Regardless of this, even if we were to take action today and do a decision letter, can take, as you said, a month or two. Your 311, no, I mean, technically the issue cannot be abated until the building permit is issued. And so the only thing I'm saying is we're going to wait until the 311 is complete before any decision letter would be
issued. No, I understand. It's just the deadline comes up on the 31st of October for this other gentleman, and his discretionary authority doesn't allow him to grant more than 30 days extension. So,
I understand the timeline.
His own words was, "Well, I guess you're in a catch 22." So,
thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, so I would take this item under advisement.
Case number 2013.1780V437 Burnett Avenue, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name's Mark Forsyth. I'm the owner of 437 Burnett, and I currently reside there as well. We are applying for a variance for a rear yard setback. I have some contextual shots of the property to sort of give the reasons for. This photo showing 437 property here and the lower homes on Corbett and the upper homes off of Burnett. My property is a unique shape property. It shares two other homes that used to be part of the property and was divided years ago before I purchased the property. I have also the plot plan here that shows in the center that's the current property with the new addition that I'm proposing, with the upper homes on the property. So Burnett Avenue is at the top of the property here. So the reason for the variance is the house already exists in the setback, and we're trying to add square footage. We only have 1,400 square feet currently. We're trying to get up to 2,300 square feet, and we're achieving that with this 11-foot addition off the back here. So we're trying to impact the lot as minimal as possible to add the square footage I need for my family right now. The reasons we're not going into the side yard to the north here, one is that's sort of the usable area on the property for the outdoor space, because the lower portion of the property is a steep hill, so it's very steep. So we have the side deck here looking down the hill, so you can see how steep the lot is. So we're trying to extend the property down the hill instead of toward the side neighbor's lot. And we have height restrictions that we were that came with the association with the two houses that we share with. So this is looking up the hill. So this house at the top, and there's a house behind the tree here that are at the top of the property. They've restricted the height of the house to the current roof level. And my proposal is just to bring the house 11 feet down the hill to gain the square footage. And that pushes the house toward the lower property. Off of Corbett below, but you can see how far away that house is, and there's a large green belt sort of dividing the houses. So the neighbors are on board. Everybody's been notified. I put story poles up to show everybody how big the house would be at the end. I'm proposing a green living roof on the top of the house that will blend the entire addition and current half of the house into the landscape, so everybody from above would be looking down on a planted roof. We have a school. The picture from this angle is obviously taken from a play structure at the school, so we don't have any southern neighbors. And the goal was to, you know, build something unique and something that blends into the landscape and doesn't impact the site. So it's more driven toward something that actually works and fits the site than what we can do. Because I could have taken the easier route and just gone into the side yard and added square footage there, and I wouldn't have to be going through all this. But we were trying to, you know, make a house fit the site rather than do the easiest thing.
Sure.
So okay. I think that's it.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone here who would like to speak to this item? Okay, seeing...
Oh. Please approach the mic. You have 3 minutes, sir.
Hi, my name is Ben Framagen, and I reside at 128 Ord Street. I'd just like to make a brief comment in favor of the project. I feel it's an appropriate response to improving the site and making the house more livable for the client's family. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here who would like to speak to this item? Okay, seeing none, I will close the public hearing on this item. Yeah, as you mentioned, this is obviously a pretty unique site, both in terms of location, the size and the shape, the topography, the deed restrictions affecting the buildable envelope, and as you mentioned, you do have some buildable area to the north that's available, but it is generally the only kind of flat space that you have for outdoor usable open space, which the code does require. And we actually do have limits on how steep usable open space needs to be. So from a code perspective, you may not even have been able to use the other rear portion of your property, even if you wanted to, for open space if it was too steep. So for all those reasons, I would be inclined to grant this variance.
Moving to our last item, item number 13, case number 2014.0738V, 245 Pixley Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor here?
I'm a representative from the office, but he was expecting to go last.
So this is the last item.
You can do your best. Do you know how close he is?
Can I step outside really quick? We're the last item, and we're up.
Yeah, and sure. This is the last item.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll just take a 5-minute recess, see if the sponsor has time to show up. So 5 minutes.